Board will come to order. Good morning. Welcome to the 1,328th meeting of the Board of Directors. If we could have your attention, please, those in the back of the room would take their conversations outside or cease them. Thank you. We begin our meetings with public comment. I understand that this morning we have no speakers who have requested to address us this morning. Is that correct? Okay. In that case, we have before us the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to be made to the agenda? If not, then without objection, we'll accept the agenda as presented. Let me note that the microphones have now been switched so that you turn them on and off as opposed to turning them off. So if you want to speak, hit that green button in front of you, and then you can turn it off when you're done. The minutes of the February 28th meeting have been distributed and are before the board. Does anyone have any corrections, additions, or a motion? Mr. Benjamin.
Now, does the light come on when I do that?
It should. Except for Mr. Benjamin's, which doesn't work.
The minutes as revised, and I would note that we have a markup version of the minutes in the packages.
A motion made and seconded, and that's because there was a revision subsequent to the initial distribution of the minutes of the February 28th meeting. So it is the revised version on which the motion was made. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. The minutes are accepted. And that will take us to the report of the Riders Advisory Council, whose chairman, Ms. Iacomini, is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to present to you the Riders Advisory Council's report for March 2008. First off, communications and service plans for upcoming events. I've already sent a letter on behalf of my group to you all, so I'm not going to dwell a whole lot on this. Staff from Metro's Department of Corporate Strategy and Communications attended the March RAC meeting to provide an overview of Metro's service and advertising plans for upcoming special events, including the Nationals opening day and subsequent games, as well as Pope Benedict's historic visit to Washington and the Mass that will be held at the stadium. Members of the RAC had the opportunity to provide feedback about the materials to be provided to passengers for both events. We are encouraged and appreciative that Metro staff sought out comments from the RAC and incorporated many of them into the final versions of both their website and pocket guides. We hope to continue to send comments along for these information efforts and for others. It was very good that staff came and sought us out. We're very glad of that. Next is the Neutral Host Communications Network. The RAC also received a presentation from staff regarding authorities' plan solicit proposals for the creation of a neutral host. Many customers, me included, had been asking for a long time when carriers other than Verizon could be accommodated within the rail system. In discussing the proposal, RAC members were generally supportive of the expanded wireless service. However, several members expressed concerns about the effect additional cell phone usage would have on the general rider experience. Subsequent to that discussion, Steve Cherney, who's the chairman of our rail subcommittee, brought in an article from the weekly app the passenger transport newspaper concerning neutral hosts on other rail systems. Among those highlighted in the article is Boston's Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, which recently rolled out a wireless system similar to what is being proposed by Metro. The BMTA simultaneously launched an ad campaign, signs on platforms and in cars, aimed at reminding riders to keep their calls brief and their voices low. Those present at the subcommittee felt that the campaign would be something that should happen with the installation and use of Metro's new neutral host. In fact, I would go so far as to suggest that the board may want to consider using a portion of the revenue provided by the neutral host licensee to fund such a courtesy campaign targeting cell phone usage, along with other rider behaviors, such as eating and drinking on buses and trains. Now, we used to have a pretty aggressive program, signage at the entrance of stations, this was years ago, and in other places about not eating and drinking and hard for our officers or other riders to say something to someone, there's nothing to point to. So if we could wrap that in with cell phones, it might be a great idea. There was also an incident management workshop to which RAC was invited to discuss preparations for the Nationals game. And unfortunately, it was sort of last minute, and many of us couldn't attend since we have day jobs. But we were able to send comments through our staff, John Pasek. We're hopeful that we'll be able to participate in some of these other tabletops, and I know that we will. Staff has indicated that they will try to give us a little better heads up. But I'd like to especially thank Metro's Assistant General Manager for Safety, Security, and Risk Management, Polly Hansen, for her consistent advocacy on behalf of Metro's customers during this workshop. RAC is looking forward to having Deputy General Manager Gerald Francis at our next meeting to discuss Metro's plans to improve its communications with customers, especially in the event of service disruption or an emergency. And finally, I'd like to thank the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee for their comments at their last meeting about Metro's elevators and escalators. RAC members are seeing and hearing about more outages of both recently. This is disturbing as these access points are critical to the smooth operation of the system and to all customers' rail experience, particularly as we get into this heavy-use tourist season. For instance, just yesterday morning at Capital South, my station, 3 out of the 5 escalators in the entire station are out of service. The only 2 escalators that serve between the mezzanine and the platform were out, and they had been so the other day, and I asked the station manager, who said there was no power to them. Somebody was working on them. Then one of the 3 from the mezzanine to the surface was running but blocked off. It had been doing that the evening before as well, and I had been told that it had worked, not worked, and now they were, quote, testing it. I would point out this is the same escalator that had been in rehab for well over 8 months before it finally opened a month or two ago. 8 months for rehab, and it was probably even a little longer. That's longer than most celebrity rehabs that I've ever heard of. So I think we need to take a hard look at this part of the infrastructure, and I hope that that can be part of the operations study. Thank you all very much. If you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Ms. Iacomini. One question. Does the Riders Advisory Council have a planning agenda, something that shows what's on your agenda for months ahead?
No, we do not.
I was wondering about that because, in part because I'm interested in trying to look ahead with you to what things you'll be taking up in the months ahead. And
we certainly would be open to doing something like that. We have not done it heretofore, but I think it could be very beneficial, knowing that you all, both the committee and the board level, do have advanced agenda.
And that's the reason that I had the question. But in any case, I'll talk to you then about, you know, what things look like going for the months ahead and when it would be appropriate to interact with members and particularly some of the committees you have, which is partly what I'm interested in, what the status of the activities, some of which we discussed at our meeting back in February, would be as we go forward. Do members have any questions for Ms. Iacomini? Thank you very much. All right. The next section is mine, and I have just a few things to say this morning, but in particular an action item for the board. When I spoke in February about the year, I talked about the twin needs of dealing with our immediate challenges and bringing service to the levels that this region needs and expects, as well as planning for the future. And I said that the organization was going to need to be performance-based and goal-driven, and that we would be specific about that, and that we would talk about exactly what our goals were, and that we were working with the general manager to formulate a work plan, basically, that says, here's what we're trying to accomplish, and here's how we expect to get there, and that we would then be able to measure our progress, to take status report throughout the year, and at the end of the year be able to evaluate our success. What we have worked out is before the board this morning as a set of 5 different objective areas covering safety and security, service reliability, communications, financial management, and employee recruitment, retention, and development. And in each of these, we have specific strategies that are intended to affect our goals with particular measures of success that we've identified by which we will determine how we're doing. this is intended to be something that we're going to hold ourselves to, that will help ensure that the entire organization is moving in the direction that the general manager has outlined and that the board has prescribed. Some of these are quite specific. Some of them are, you know, somewhat more general. Some of them are fairly quantitative. Just to give an example, in the area of safety, one of the, well, probably the goal that stands out the most significantly is that we will have zero work-related fatalities this year. We also want to have a 10% reduction in claims for work-related injuries as a result of increased efforts at workplace safety. On service reliability, which is the thing that our customers experience the most and certainly speak to us most frequently about, we have a number of specific strategies to improve reliability on rail and bus and paratransit systems, and some particular measures of success, including, for instance, reducing all offloads on rail by 10% this year, increasing schedule adherence on Metrobus by 10%, increasing headway adherence on Metrorail by 10%, and so on. In the area of communication, something we've talked about a lot, we have specific objectives for improving communications with customers as well as internally in the organization. I would note in particular one specific item that says that we will communicate accurate and timely information to customers during incidents so they can make timely decisions on transportation options. It's an example of something that the board has talked about a lot that has been a concern when we've had incidents, even when they have been managed in a way that, you know, ultimately is successful in terms of protecting the safety of everyone involved and dealing with the problem as quickly as possible. If the people who are stuck don't know what's going on, then we have a problem, and we are not allowing our customers to make adjustments they need to make when something happens. And so we're making a specific goal for ourselves to improve upon that area. In the financial area, there are a number of things as well, including conducting an organizational assessment of operations, something we've already taken action to start, but that will be something we'll be looking at later in the year. And again, that will give us the basis for further improvements. So there are quite a few items here under these five general categories. I think this will be very significant in letting everyone involved in the organization, as well as those outside watching, to know what it is we're all collectively trying to do from the board on down to line staff. So with that, I'll put this before the board and ask for comments and discussion. But I will move approval of these objectives, strategies, and success measures by the board. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Mr. Benjamin.
I just wanted to compliment the chairman on his leadership. I think this is an extremely important step. It's really important for us as a board to establish what we believe should be the goals of this agency and for those goals to travel through the whole agency and be adopted by all of the people who are working on all the different levels. And Mr. Zimmerman has shown exceptional leadership in making sure that this happens. The general manager has worked very hard on making sure that this is a set of goals that his staff will, in fact, work with. And I think this is a process that we hopefully will continue for many years.
Thank you, Mr. Benjamin. And this really is a product of much work, obviously on the staff side, but board members have weighed in and been involved in discussions about how best to frame this, and even up until the last week with important improvements to what we have. So I thank all of you in advance. Ms. Hutchins.
I wanted to also echo and thank you for the leadership in getting us here and working in cooperation with the general manager. I think this puts us not only as a board with the responsibility of understanding what our goals and objectives are and measuring the performance of the organization, but it also says to our general public, what are we expecting from this organization, and being willing to very publicly expose what that is, because that means that we're really dedicated to what we're trying to accomplish here. And so I think it's a very good way to begin a year in which I think we have an awful lot to do, but make a commitment that we're willing to do that.
as we were working through this, there's, you know, always refinements to a document, and as you make changes, things pop up that, you know, were unintended. Something gets dropped, something gets put back, and even down to the last minute. I'm looking at one thing here now that I suppose I should have asked about. I'm not sure that it's where it meant to be, but if Mr. Cato, if you would look at page 3, under Objective 3, the third item on the page, so it's actually the sixth item, it says improved communications during incidents. There's a parenthetic comment there, and I wonder whether that was meant to be part of the strategy or if it was meant to be moved to the right-hand side or isn't actually captured by something on the right-hand side. It's the third from the top of the page under Objective 3, on page 3, under Objective 3. It says improved communications during incidents.
That's why I have the copy until 9 o'clock this morning.
Oh.
improved communications during incidents.
On the left side, and it says, e.g., new bus signs. Is that? I mean, it's an example, I realize, but I'm not sure that, just in terms of format, that you want that there. So probably that gets deleted, I imagine. Just as a matter of form. The other thing on form, I'd say that when this is, assuming this is approved by the board, it would be useful, I think, to index the individual items so that when we discuss them in the future, I could say item 3.1 or 3B or whatever it is. So if when it's put in final form, if somebody could go through and just assign numbers or letters to the individual items. You know, some of them have more than one, and so you could have, you know, 1.1.2 or 1A1 or something like that. I'm not fussy, but just some way that we can easily go through the document in the future since we'll be coming back to it. Are there any other discussions, comments? With that, then, I'll call for the ayes and nays. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. That motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Now we have some business to do, and specifically, Mr. General Manager, I believe you have brought forward a new chief for Metro Transit Police.
Yes, Chairman, I'd like to introduce to the board and to everyone in this room the new chief of police, which is actually Mr. Gordon, is Michael Abel. Michael,
ask him to come forward this time.
I'd also like to acknowledge that his family is in this room, and you might want to introduce them, Michael.
Come on up to here for a moment, and I would ask, are you ready to take the oath?
Yes, sir.
Then please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Michael Tabor.
I, Michael Tabor.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the provisions of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Compact.
The provisions of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Compact.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
And impartially.
And impartially.
Discharge and perform all duties.
Discharge and perform all duties.
Incumbent on me.
Incumbent on me.
As Chief of Metro Transit Police.
As Chief of Metro Transit Police.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
afforded me the opportunity to be here, and for the chairman, Mr. Zimmerman, for agreeing to that decision, as well as the rest of the board members. I'd like to thank and welcome participation in the Metro Executive Leadership Team. I'm looking forward to working with you all. I'd like to thank the 10,000-plus Metro employees in particular for affording me the opportunity to come back and work to make this the best ride in the nation. I'd like to particularly thank the transit police, who, in my opinion, and the opinion of a lot of people throughout this United States and country, are the best police department in the whole world. I'd like to thank Polly Hansen for her leadership over the last 6 years, during a time that we were faced with terrorism across the nation, and everyone knows that the Washington Metro is usually factored into that threat. So I'd like to thank her for her leadership, the many initiatives that she's put forth to make sure that the patrons and the employees and protection of our facilities and properties are afforded safety and security. First and last, I'd like to thank my wife, Debbie, and my family for being here to support me. You may not know that Metro is where I first met my wife. So many, many years ago, we met each other, and I was conducting myself in a professional manner. So. I spent 28 years here and learned a lot, and it sort of made me become educated in the likes of transit and transit policing. I left in 2002 and had the distinct pleasure and honor of working with one of the best federal agencies in the land, the Federal Transit Administration. My boss, who I had the opportunity to work as the director of the Office of Safety and Security, is here now. Susan Schruth, who is the Associate Administrator for Program Management. I worked under her leadership. Susan, if you would stand up. And we did a lot of great things. And the one thing that I found out, not that I needed to know that, that Metro was a number one throughout all of North America, and the transit police were just as important. But working with the Federal Transit Administration, I found that the desire and the ability to ensure that over 6,000 transit agencies across the nation are afforded the level of assistance from the federal government, and in particular, my Office of the Safety and Security, we were able to do a lot of things. And working with the Department of Homeland Security as it relates to terrorism, we again did a lot for transit agency. And I'm just thankful and grateful to be afforded the opportunity. I assure the members of the transit police that we will continue to carry on those exciting and innovative initiatives to ensure that the safety, security of our riding public and our transit employees are afforded the best possible opportunity to go from point A to point B. Thanks very much.
Chief, I'm sure your federal experience will be of value to you in your new role, but we are glad to have you back here where it all started. Thank you very much. Mr. Cato, your report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm going to change the report, the order, just a little bit.
Yeah.
We just had the opportunity to officially welcome and to swear in the new chief of police for Metro. Sadly, today we also bid farewell to his predecessor, Polly Hansen. After 27 years of dedicated service and 6 years as chief of the transit police, Polly Hansen has decided to leave the Metro family, but she really won't be leaving the family, for other pursuits. Tomorrow will be her last official working day, but we all know Polly, we know that will not be her last working day. As a Metro Transit Police officer, as the chief of that department, and most recently as our assistant, a general manager for safety, security, and emergency management, Polly has demonstrated true leadership and professional excellence, building a firm foundation upon which others can build continued success. I know I didn't meet Polly until recent years, but even before then, her reputation was known throughout the industry across the country. She was the key point in making the Metro Transit Police respected and acknowledged as the best transit police within the United States, and I would suspect the best transit police within the world. I'd like to especially thank her for staying so long, particularly over the last year, to help this agency through the transition and to help me in my first year as the general manager. Polly is one of the individuals that you truly respect because she doesn't tell you what you want to hear. She will tell you what you need to hear. She would ensure that you're at the right place at the right time, and in fact, even going so far as to knock on your door to make sure that occurs. I'm going to miss her. I know this department will miss her. She's moving on to greater things, but we expect to utilize her expertise in the upcoming years. And Polly, I just can't say enough to thank you for all the dedicated service and the outstanding work you have done with this police department, both as an officer and the chief of police. And I believe, Mr. Chairman, we have a little something we'd
yes,
like to
we
do.
Yes, we do have a small presentation, a little token, and I guess I should ask you to come forward, and I'll come around here and provide it to you. We want you to have something to fill up any wall space you may have left. This one identifies your term of service here, many years, and says, Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Defendant Polly O'Hanson, as an MCPD officer, as the chief of the MCPD, and as our assistant general manager for safety, security, and emergency management, Polly Hanson has demonstrated true leadership and professional excellence, building a firm foundation upon which others can build continued success. Mr. Benjamin.
I wanted to comment because Chief Hanson has been a friend and a person with whom I've worked for many, many years. And you've heard lots of really, really positive things about her leadership and how trustworthy she is and how solid she is as a person. But one of the things you haven't heard that I think is really critically important that I valued through all of these years is how much she cared about each and every member of the transit police and their families, and how much she went out of her way to accommodate them in every possible way. And she really built a structure and a group of people who worked together because they cared about one another and because they cared about their leadership. And Chief Hanson, I will always remember that as an enormous accomplishment on your part.
Other comments? Ms. Hutchins.
Mr. Chairman, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you and wish you best wishes in the future. I can remember when you were elevated to chief, and it sort of went around the region as the excitement that this brought to the overall community that you could lead the organization. And it became a pleasure to come here and really watch you work and see how open and inclusive you were in terms of all of the work that you did with the Transit Authority. And as was stated, your frankness, your very honest opinions as to the policies and considerations that we had, and I think that has gone a long way to improve us, and I wish you well in your future.
Thank you. Polly, we've only overlapped for about a year now, and in that 1 year, I've just been so incredibly impressed with you, with your energy level, with the passion that you have, with your leadership skills, with the fact that you really, really care about the officers and you really care about the safety of everyone who utilizes our system. And your energy never ceases to amaze me, even as recently as some pending legislation that we had in Annapolis for the benefit of our officers. And you were relentless, and you don't say die. You just keep going and keep going. If it's good for Wilmot, if it's good for the officers, there is no stopping you. And for that, I thank you very much, and I enjoyed working with you tremendously. And I can't wait to see what's in store for you now, because there are going to be many beneficiaries. So thank you.
Ms. Hanson, you'll always be chief to me. Would you like to say anything?
I can't. Anybody knows
him. I understand. Let me just say that, you know, I know you'll be leaving here after today, and so I will no longer be, in any sense that I was, your boss. But I know where you live, so you are my boss. Ms. Anthon is an Arlingtonian, so I'm still working for her after today, and I'm sure she will not hesitate to call me when the pothole needs fixed, or the garbage wasn't picked up, or any of the kinds of things that citizens need to call upon their local government for. And you know you can always call on me, and I will always be very appreciative of the work you've done here for, you've been here many more years than I have, but I've been here now 10 years, and have had the opportunity to work with you and to get some of those phone calls and to know what Mr. Cato meant when he said, you tell us what we need to hear, whether it was what we wanted to hear or not, and do appreciate that very much, and expect that that's the standard to which those who hold that office will always adhere. So again, thank you very much. Good luck. Please stay in touch.
And Mr. Zimmerman, if you notice on the plaque, it's 27 years exactly this month. And so the time is going to be really right when I came before our executive team. I had a picture of myself 27 years ago where I explained, you know, everybody saw I either looked like Peter Pan or a 14-year-old boy. And, you know, it's just been an incredible opportunity to serve this region and our customers. And one of the things, and you know, my mother reminded me, I used to always call it the Big M. The Big M is just involved in everything that happens. And of course, this weekend is just another example of our relationship to the huge success of the special events going on with the cherry blossom, baseball. So it's just been such an honor and pleasure to be a part of this fine organization. I look at the best part of the nation. I've been here when it's, you know, truly been that, and I know that it will be that again. And just thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Cato.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have some other issues to report. This past weekend was the first of a four-weekend suspension of track work. This temporary suspension of track work on the weekends will allow Metro to operate full weekend service for riders attending the National Cherry Blossom Festival, the opening weekend for the Washington Nationals, and the National Marathon, as well as other events in the region. I want to thank our customers for their patience as we worked on several major projects in January and February. We know that weekend track work can be a great inconvenience to our riders, but it is essential to the health of the rail system. And speaking of this weekend, we have the opening weekend for the Nationals. I'd like to remind the board members that we've been working very hard to make sure that our Navy Yard station can handle the increased crowds. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we will have a celebration to open the Navy Yard's new entry at Half Street, and we hope that members of the board will be able to attend. This weekend represents a whole new ball game for Metro in terms of getting our customers to and from the games. But we have been preparing for a great deal of time to provide this service. It's going to be tough. It's going to be some long lines, but we're ready. And we'd like to show you the fruits of our labor tomorrow with the opening of the Navy Yard station and the activities and the preparation and the services that we will provide for the first game. From a safety standpoint, on April 29th, Metro will be participating in a region-wide pedestrian safety workshop to be held at the National Press Club here in Washington, D.C. from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The theme of the workshop is It's Time for Solutions, and the workshop will gather transportation and safety experts as well as policymakers from around the region to develop those solutions to our pedestrian safety concerns. Our goal is to create concrete measures that will help prevent pedestrian injuries and fatalities. And I encourage members of the board again to attend it if your calendar allows. Each month, we highlight employees who have performed outstanding. And today, the Deputy General Manager, Gerald Francis, will talk about some of those employees as I join you, Mr. Chairman, in giving them a certificate of appreciation.
Mr. Chairman, if you know, if I can have you, Chief, if Chief Taborn, if you can join Mr. Cato and Mr. Zimmerman on our spotlight. And as I call each officer, if you can come down and join the gentleman in the spotlight. Sergeant Holloway, Officer Escobar, and Officer McKee. On February 12, there was a report of an injured customer at our Fort Totten Metro Rail station. These three officers responded to the call and found a customer who had slipped on the icy grade while running for a bus. It was evening on a very cold day, which was just getting colder, and traffic due to the bad weather was delaying the EMS vehicle. The officers felt that it was important to get the customer out of the elements, so they fastened a splint out of materials at hand, some cardboard, a blanket, and some police tape. Then they moved into a nearby bus shelter where they could continue first aid until the EMS personnel arrived. The care that these officers showed for the customer was exceptional, and their use of all their skills and their performance of their duties is something that we encourage and reward in the department at Metro. For that reason, we're putting Sergeant Holloway, Officer Escobar, and Officer McKee in our spotlight.
Thank you very much for your message. Thank you, Mr. Reed, and all of the providers and delegates. Thank you. I just do want to thank you for all of this wonderful work that you've done in helping the customers. Thank you for all of the officers. Thank you for everything that you've done. This is just the level of standard commitment we have as a trained police. It goes way up and above.
Thank you, Mr. Cato. That will bring us to committee reports, the first of which is the Finance Administration Oversight Committee. Mr. Benjamin.
The Finance Administration Oversight Committee met on March 13th. You have two actions before you. The first is for the selection of the external auditor staff with concurrence of the Audit Subcommittee of the Board requested approval of Clifton Gunderson, LLP, as the external auditor for a period of 3 years with 2 one-year options. I move approval.
Motion by Mr. Benjamin, seconded by Ms. Hudgens. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Next item.
Second item is on the wireless network and an update for the request for proposal. Staff requested approval to issue an RFP to design, build, operate, and maintain a wireless communication infrastructure throughout Metro's underground stations and tunnels. The project would be implemented at no cost to WMATA and is expected to generate revenue. Staff was asked to include as a factor in the RFP the proposed charges to other providers and also to provide the board with criteria for judging the success of the project as it is being implemented. That information is included in our packages. Staff will return to the board for approval of a proposed contractor. I hope staff will also take under consideration the RAC proposal for the courtesy campaign and the use of cell phones. I move approval.
Motion by Mr. Benjamin, seconded by Mr. Giancola. I would note that there is a document labeled revised attached to this, which is a supplement that includes the information Mr. Benjamin referred to on the criteria for evaluation. Again, it was discussed in committee and the board requested, so that as we move forward on this very important and large contract, we will be able to assess how we're doing and whether, in fact, we've accomplished the objectives that were intended. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries.
Finally, the board also began a careful and deliberate review of the proposed 2009 operating and capital budgets, a process that will continue through June and hopefully will result in approval of those budgets at that time, which is in fact one of the general manager's goals.
Very good.
That concludes your report?
That's it. Thank you, Mr. Benjamin. The Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee, I believe, has no action items this month. And its chair, Mr. Graham, is not able to be here this morning, but in any case, there are no action items for that. So we'll pass that one by and move to the Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee. Mrs. Hutchins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Planning and Development and Real Estate Committee met this morning, and there was one action item, and it was staff sought to obtain the concurrence of the committee and the board on directors on approval to negotiate and execute a lease agreement with the Washington National Stadium, LLC, for the use of Metro's Southeastern Division bus garage and service parking lot at Van Street Southeast for a one-year period only, and to allocate lease revenue to the capital budget. Mr. Chairman, move approval.
Motion by Ms. Hutchins. I think I heard Ms. Hubert first, so second by Ms. Hubert.
Further discussion. Let me note that this motion captures what were two motions in the committee, I believe,
yes.
Both for the lease and for the allocation of the revenue to be toward the capital budget. And while this revenue is to be allocated to the capital budget for reasons discussed in committee, previous sums related to this, in fact, are being put into an account for this project. And so will be used ultimately to defray the costs associated with this station, as opposed to putting into more general accounts, such as the TIP. Discussion, Mr. Dinkola.
Yes. Well, I certainly would have preferred the funds be put back into the Southeast Operations Funds. I certainly will not object to the overall motion.
All right. Any further discussion questions? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, there were just two other items, information items. One is the briefing on Metro Matters, and the other was the briefing on the urgent unfunded.
Oh, that's right. We have to turn that on now. I hope that was recorded.
Just the two briefings.
Just the two briefings. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hutchins. And that brings us to administrative items, of which there are three this morning. Mr. Benjamin?
Mr. Chair, I ask that, first of all, I move the items 2 and 3 and ask that item number 1 be deferred. And I'd like to comment on that, if I may, but you might want to get a second first.
Okay, so the motion is to approve items 2 and 3 on block.
Correct.
And we'll leave item 1 for discussion subsequently. So the motion is on administrative actions 11, 2, and 3 for their approval. Seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Now we're on item 11, 1. Mr. Benjamin.
And I'm asking that this item be deferred, and I want to essentially make the same statement that I made in committee. I am very concerned about this item because what it does is once again provide destination parking for people at one of our stations. In this case, it's for people at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission who are directly across the street from the White Flint Metro Station. And what we are doing in this case is proposing that we rent parking to people who otherwise, presumably, would be riding transit. I'm concerned we have now two items before us at this meeting, one sponsored by Montgomery County, for which I'm a representative, which both focus on doing destination parking. I understand we need revenue. I understand it's very important for us to use that revenue for many things that we've discussed just recently. But I also think there are a set of policies and principles that we do need to maintain, and that is we need to provide mobility, we need to provide transit, and be pushing for transit use, not providing parking for people who avoid using transit. So with that said, I'm asking this be deferred until we can discuss it further with officials in Montgomery County.
You don't want to defer to a date certain, but
no. Deferred indefinitely.
Motion is to defer this item indefinitely. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion. I'd like to have, raise a question.
Any questions, seconds?
I will agree to the deferral of this because I think the point Mr. Benjamin makes is a very good point. Different, I think, this item than the one as can be understood from the description here. The question I would like to have addressed is the 500 empty spaces. That's a large number of spaces, and it would be good for us to understand how and why we're in this condition with a garage. And also that we have raised parking fees, and can we get a report as to the service that we've had from the time that we've raised the fees and the amount of usage of this facility?
Well, that report will be provided.
Yes, we will provide that report.
Okay, very good. I will say I think that Mr. Benjamin, again, as he did this morning, makes an important point that while it may be legitimate to do this kind of thing on a temporary basis, there is a fundamental philosophical question about how this agency uses its assets. And we clearly want to use them in ways that encourage the use of transit and not that encourage parking and driving to destinations and parking. So it is a kind of a troublesome matter for us when we're presented with a situation that may call for something like this, which in the long run would run counter to the objectives that this agency serves. Further discussion? Motion is to defer. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. And with that, I believe we are to jurisdictional reports. Mr. Giancola, is there any report from the District of Columbia?
Just that we'll see folks tomorrow at the western side of the Navy Yard station for the opening.
We will
look forward
indeed
to it.
Thank you for reminding us. And the time of that is 11 a.m., correct?
Yes.
Okay. I will be there. Hope you will, too. How about on the Maryland side, Mr. Benjamin?
And I will be there also at 11 o'clock. No report.
Okay. Virginia, Ms. Hudson? No report. I will just say on the Virginia side that we're still continuing to look for money, and we are hopeful that any day now the governor will announce the timing for the special session that is anticipated to address the transportation funding crisis, and that we will all be working to ensure that Metro funding is part of any resolution that is worked out there. I believe we have no closed session today.
No closed session.
And so we are, in fact, done. We're adjourned.
Thank you.